word over and over again. Bill Maher and some of his comments about, I mean, make me look like Romper Room Choir Boy.
It's another day of tornado turmoil in the South and Midwest. Several tornadoes were reported in northern Alabama. Paige Colburn with Madison County Emergency Management.
We've just heard lots of damage for residential properties. Some places have reported mobile homes being flipped over and people needing extraction from houses.
A prison was also hit, but so far there are no reports of any deaths. The situation is desperate in the Syrian city of Homs, and the Red Cross is still not able to get into one neighborhood to provide aid.
Syrian activists say security forces are conducting what amounts to a scorched earth policy in the Baba Amr neighborhood of Homs, a city that's been under siege for a month. A Red Cross convoy filled with relief materials is waiting to enter, but officials say it's been blocked. The organization's president says it's unacceptable that people who need help desperately can't get it. The United Nations now says Syrian security forces have killed more than 7,500 civilians since the revolt began a year ago. President Assad's forces have promised to cleanse the entire neighborhood. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The other man shown with Rutgers student Tyler Clementi in the video stream about their encounter in a dorm room testified in the trial of the former student who posted the video, CBS's Aaron Moriarty.
He was very calm and limited in his answers, as many witnesses are instructed to be, you know, very short answers, but seemed pretty comfortable.
Clementi killed himself after being exposed. Darun Ravi, the student who posted the video, said he was just concerned about another man being in the room. The Dow down 11 points, NASDAQ off 11 as well. This is CBS News.
At Quicken Loans, we close many of our home loans in 30 days or less. But if you work with someone other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with a lender that takes a lot longer. Here's an analogy. I ordered a pizza 4 hours ago that should have arrived in 30 minutes or less. Think of my cold, unappetizing pizza as a mortgage from a lender that doesn't care about closing loans quickly.
Here's your pizza, dude.
You should have been here a lot sooner.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
The choice is clear. A mortgage from a lender that takes forever to close your loan, or a piping hot mortgage from Quicken Loans that arrives fresh at your door in as quick as 30 days or less. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Tight budgets are forcing some states to slash money for some of the most critically needed job training programs.
The trend in states during rough economic times over the years has been to cut funding to state schools. By one estimate, appropriations last year were lopped by more than 7.5%. We're talking tech, healthcare, engineering, jobs very much in demand today, but some of the most expensive to teach. And hefty tuition hikes have not made up for the state cuts. The New York Times says that state colleges and at least seven states have been forced to shut down their computer sciences and engineering departments. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Students of a Miami high school are starting an online campaign to derail the planned deportation of their class valedictorian. A judge has ordered 18-year-old Daniela Pelaez to leave the country. She came to the U.S. from Colombia with her family when she was four. She's already applied to several Ivy League colleges. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
When you were a kid, you had toy cars, boats, trucks, entire toy boxes full of fun. Of course, you never really outgrow your toys, do you? It's just that now, instead of a box full, you have a garage full. Cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, and more. As you get older, your love of toys just gets stronger. So protect those toys the best way possible by switching to Allstate. An Allstate agent can help do the switching, paperwork, bundle all your policies together, and even find you a bunch of discounts. So if you love your toys, make sure you protect your toys by making one call to an Allstate agent.
Protect all your toys with Allstate. Find an agent near you at Allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
We'll be right back. It's Friday. It's Friday, Friday. So here's the deal. Karen Gillies should be in, but Jim D from the Palm Theater will not because he's a busy, 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 busy guy.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
Here's Bill, though. Slowly climbing back out of my own throat, apparently, is what was going on right there. Hey, you know, I've always said that the most foolish thing in the whole wide world is the state can find some part of the other part of the state, they can find them. Money. Okay? So the state is fined Atascosa State Hospital for safety violations. Of course, the word state is right in the name of the hospital. So therefore, it's just money changing hands within the state. You're not really finding anybody, are you? Because they just get the money from us anyway. It makes me feel like, well, you can abbreviate it, Atascadero State Stupidity.
With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
The radio you're listening to right now brings you music, news, sports, and talk programs, or it's just a noisy, knobby box. The difference is your ability to hear what's coming out of it. Karen Scott is your certified Central Coast audiologist with offices in San Luis Obispo and Arroyo Grande. Karen can take you beyond the noisy, knobby box phase of your life and into a world of listening enjoyment. You or your loved one is just an appointment away from a whole new life of hearing your sweetheart, family, children, grandchildren, your radio, and yes, even the neighbors. Karen can make your whole world a better place to live and listen in. Karen has numerous products that she can recommend and fit perfectly, and her caring follow-up service puts her at the top of the professional audiology ladder. Serving the Central Coast for 23 years, Karen's main office is at 1985 Johnson Avenue by French Hospital, and you can make an appointment right now by calling 541-1790. Do it for yourself, for those you love, and for those of us inside your noisy, knobby box. Karen will help you hear all of us say thank you.
Some people are afraid to get an MRI because they think their only option is being put into a narrow tunnel. This is no longer true. San Luis Diagnostic Center just installed a new 3-Tesla ultra-high-field MRI system with an opening that is 40% larger and much shorter than other systems. Now even the most claustrophobic person can have an MRI without concern. It produces crisper, clearer images that can diagnose disease far earlier, and scans take half as long. As a diagnostic facility dedicated to outpatient care, San Luis Diagnostic Center strives to make sure your appointments are on time and at your convenience. When your doctor tells you you need an MRI, take control of your health care and call San Luis Diagnostic Center at 542-9700 before someone else chooses for you.
Yeah, we'll
all
see.
Major insurances are accepted.
Major insurances accepted, even those that do or do not pay for birth control. And let me tell you about San Luis Diagnostic. It's so great. They're so great. You get in there, you get out there, they're on time, they're nice to you. They're just, the whole system is right on at the San Luis Diagnostic. At Tasco State Hospital. It's on my mind. Excuse me. San Luis Diagnostic. All right, let's get to today. Our flashback in history, our highlight, according to the Tribune, on March 2nd, 1962, Will Chamberlain scored 100 points for the Philadelphia Warriors in a game against the New York Knicks, an NBA record that still stands. And he claimed that he'd been with that many women in his life. Whew. Shooting them oops. 1836, the Republic of Texas formally declared its independence from Mexico. In 1917, Puerto Ricans were granted U.S. citizenship. Our birthdays today, author Tom Wolfe is 82, former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev is 81, author John Irving is 70, singer Lou Reed is 70, former Senator Russ Feingold is from Wisconsin is 59, rock singer John Bon Jovi is 50, actor Daniel Craig is 44. A lot of people waited until March 2nd just to kind of be born again. Actress Bryce Dallas Howard is 31, NFL quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is 30 today. Happy birthday to all of them, and to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday. To you. go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and at Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, baby.
Mo barbecue, please.
Hey, buckle your seatbelts. I got a funny feeling about where we're going with this today. Okay. Hey, good. Hi. You know who's here? Karen Vealey from CalcoastNews.com. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How are you, madam?
I'm good.
Good. It's Friday. We've had an interesting week. We had a leap year, you know, so we had an extra day, you know, so those of us that are long in the tooth are longer. That's not any good, you know, right there. And so, you know what, we're going to start right out with something, and Karen and I have two different experiences with this soul, and therefore we will share those. And so, and again, my we're going to talk about Rob Brim, and who passed away 2 days ago, and apparent of natural causes from what they know so far. And he was only 61 years old, so whatever that natural cause was is a little bit frightening, really, if you're already older than that. Anyway, but here's the deal. So I had a certain amount of contact with Rob for the many years as a program director, you know, and my news directors would have had more contact with Rob, but I don't know his name ever came up. Anyway, so I'm going to make this statement. My contact with Rob Brim is always very positive. He was always very positive. Hi, Bill. How are you? Fine, Rob. How's everything with you? Fine. And it was like that. So, you know, but I didn't have a lot of professional contact with him. Every now and then I'd ask him a question, call him, ask a question, but mostly I didn't have that kind of contact with him. So Karen Vealey, on the other hand, who's sitting before me, has had a different experience with the Sheriff's Department and their spokesperson, who's deceased now. Go ahead. So now, and you can call. I mean, you know, this is, it's fine to share at 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. And I will also tell you, so you don't get, you know, you don't step on anybody's toes, Karen, that KSBY has apparently, having heard the news twice through KSBY, they have claimed him as their own.
Oh, yes, probably.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he was a great family man and a great friend of those he was a friend of. But for media, by law, according to Government Code 6003, government officials are required to tell the truth in emails and letters, no matter who they're to. You can't, as a government official, make a statement that is knowingly false. And with Rob Brim, we had that happening on a regular basis. So, and there were times that Rob Brim with Cal Coast News, there was a time probably about 3 years ago when Daniel Blackburn had discovered something regarding something Rob Brim had done using government equipment regarding a campaign. And when he brought it up to Rob Brim, he said, if you at Cal Coast News want any more information and want us to respond, you won't write this story. Well, we wrote the story, and then we had to get a lawyer to send him a letter saying you can't not respond to them, because they're not towing the line that you feel that they should tow. So as people went, we had a number of problems. And another thing that happened, for those that know about the Destiny Myers case, Gulf Coast News had it very early on because of Dan Blackburn. Dan Blackburn did some reporting and discovered about the gas station, about the different things that had happened that the rest of the media did not know. Rob Wren made a statement in writing that Gulf Coast News was wrong and they hadn't been stopped for gas. There hadn't been policemen there. That nothing we had said had been true. It came out in court that exactly what we said had been true, but KSBY reamed Dan Blackburn on the air. The Tribune reamed Dan Blackburn. No one apologized when it came out that they were incorrect. But the information came from Rob Wren, which was common. And this week, the night before he died, we were sending emails back and forth, and we have a voice message from him. When we call him and we tell him we know there's a flu outbreak at the jail, he responds back, well, there's only three cases. It's a mild kind of flu and no big deal. Meanwhile, I have sources in the jail that says it's been nose swabbed out and discovered to be swine flu, H1N1. It is a serious outbreak. The whole West Wing has been shut down. Later on in the day, the Tribune wrote, I think it was 29 cases. Then it went back down to 4 cases. Information was all over the place, and they were saying they weren't telling what type of flu it was. Rob Wren himself called the county and said, please don't let anyone from the health department speak about this at all. Jeff Hamm of Unbelievable said, well, read the Tribune. They'll tell you what's going on. And he said, read the Tribune anything about the jail. Well, another thing on the jail, they said there was as many as 600 prisoners right now. Those are last year's numbers. They've been up to 750. Wow. So there's information that's not correct coming out of the Sheriff's Department on a regular basis, which I think is a public disservice. And, yes, if you wrote whatever Rob said and took that stand, he would respond to you. But if you did not, he would hang up on when you made phone calls. He would scream at you. He would get very angry. So there's two sides.
Like I said, that's fine. And I say my experience with Rob Wren was very limited. You know, yours is, in your capacity, what you do for CalCoastNews.com, in your capacity, you torque people off. You know, I mean, you're the person that says, you know, I'm going to hold this up to the candle and let the world see it. And so you want to answer the question. So naturally, people react to you in a much different way. I don't know why they're not polite and acting and giving a dirty look, but maybe they're not. So anyway, that's what I'm saying. I clarify that. And your situation again is, we know that like KSBY doesn't do investigative reporting. You know, they're not going to go into some situation where they're going to find out something's wrong with what Rob told them. So, you know, it's the nature of the beast.
And even the Tribune today, there was a opinion piece by Phil Dirk saying they should raise taxes in Paso Robles to give more money to go after traffic tickets. A, penal code says you can't have a ticket quota. It's against the law. And they really didn't have, if you go to the years that they're claiming they had all those deaths, the deaths were primarily on the freeway 101 going through town, and they had 2 or 3 each year, which is higher than some cities of the same size that don't have a freeway running through town. And Highway 46 has a lot of accidents. Those aren't even areas that the police department generally covers. So it was kind of...
I saw the article, and I was kind of scratching my head a little bit and saying, I think this is what Lisa Solomon's already having problems with one police officer.
Yes, yes. And, well, I think it's going to be more than one in the long run. There should be another case either filed this week, today, or in the next week.
Well, Phil also said, which is true, Paso Robles PD right now is undergunned. You know, they're understaffed. The other thing, too, that's sort of interesting, I think, is that people, the average citizen, be it Phil Dirks, Bill Benica, anybody else in the whole, there was somebody who wrote a letter to the editor today, and there was somebody sitting in a left turn lane, and the light was red, and they saw there wasn't anybody really coming, so they just went through the red light and made a left turn, and it was a shock to this guy. Nothing shocks me anymore about traffic in San Luis, but there's nothing that you can see or do that would shock me. Just yesterday, as we were driving around yesterday, I saw 3 people make illegal U-turns. That's, to me, a lot. But, blatant illegal U-turns, weird, strange illegal U-turns. And you go, are you serious? That ticket would probably be $9 million if you got caught. But anyway, so here's what I'm saying. It's that, everybody sees a place and they go, why don't the cops just sit right here and hand out tickets for the rest of their lives? You know, because everybody violates the laws in certain intersections and certain places. You know, the cops have, read, I'll tell you, I think it's been a useful service. A lot of people say it's stupid, this thing in the newspaper about, you know, who called who and all that, whatever they call that, you know, what's your beef or whatever they call that. And they talk, they do the police log, and they say, here's what police responded to. Holy cow. No wonder they don't have time to even do tickets. You know, they got cats in the tree and who knows what else, you know, and strangers roaming around that aren't strangers, you know. The guy owns the house. I mean, these things are insane. So the cops, we all know places where a cop could park and say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, do it. But they have all this other weird stuff they're chasing down.
And what is, when you
and
have
criminals, and criminals. You don't remember criminals? There's those.
You have gang violence and drug violence, which in Atascadero, when they're low staff, they don't go after anymore. So certain things that are more likely to raise crime and are not looked at in some areas. But I know there are some traffic. I just went by the Arroyo Grande Police Department yesterday. I'd had a call regarding some of the – there's been a bunch of racial literature posted all around Arroyo Grande. And I had some people complain about it, so I went by the police department to ask about it. And they had a four-car crash in front of the police department, right dead in front of the police department yesterday, a four-car accident.
Amazing. Well, I'll give you an let me just give you one example. I know we're going off course here a little bit, but real quick. For instance, and you see this all the time, and or you do it yourself, and you may well. And I went to the DMV to get the booklet to make sure that I thought I, you know, it was illegal, but I wanted to make sure. And you're going to say, Bill, nobody goes to the DMV if they don't have to. Karen Scott is my client, is now next door, so I was going to go see her, so I thought, okay, I'll just swing in. Okay. So I have to explain why I was at the DMV picking up a booklet. Anyway, when you come to a red light to make a right-hand turn, you're supposed to come to a complete stop and then make the right-hand turn because you don't have the right of way.
Yes.
Well, how many people look to their left, they don't see anybody coming, the light's still red, they go, ah, screw it, and they make a right-hand turn. It's like, I would say 9 out of 10 people do that.
Oh, I don't. I'm so
you
paranoid.
Actually stop? You
react,
stop.
I always stop. It's red, I stop. I had a ticket for rolling probably when I was about 18, and I am so careful to stop. It's just, it's one of those things that scares me.
Okay, that's okay. Good for you. But here's the thing. Every single person that does that can get a ticket.
Yeah.
And everybody does it, besides you. You're the only person that does it. But everybody else in the entire world, on the red light, they go, okay, I'm going. You know, they don't stop.
Yeah. Do you really think that many people don't stop?
I every single day of my life, coming to work and going home, have to hit an intersection that is, you know, one of these hideous intersections.
Yeah.
And the people just roll. Not only that do they do. Once the light, so let's say I'm waiting for the red light and it turns green. If I'm halfway across the intersection, they will just zoom out and get in front of you. They won't wait for you. They don't care if you have a green light and they have a red light. They'll just cut you off. They don't care. So anyway, that's life. So we'll go on another thing. That's really, as long as we're talking cops, let's do this then. Well, here's what we should mention then. So what we have right now is a situation that has not really been revealed as far as what's actually going on out at the county jail. And if they in fact have H1N1 flu, this is a big deal.
And last night they did a big probation sweep. And I was told it just took a bunch of guys. And again, they, you know, the numbers have been as high as 750. But some of those numbers are actually out at the ranch and a couple of things. So the numbers are kind of, but the total occupation numbers have hit 750 with the switchover.
Well, I saw a picture the other day. I mean, these people are packed in there.
Yeah, it's not 600. Again, those were last year's numbers.
Mm.
And again, that's why it's important that the people get the truth. But they did this big probation sweep, and I was told there were 2 to 4 people brought in last night that had fevers coming in the door. And then also, you know, they're not letting guys, and I understand this, and I think this is fabulous. I think this is a great way to do it. If you're in that ward and you're around the people that are sick, the reason they only have 3 or 4 that they were found sick is they only swabbed like 4 or 5. Almost everyone they know swabbed came back with the flu. So those are the confirmed cases, but you have I guess they had 29 others they said that were infected, but I've been told many more. That whole West ward is likely in very close situation. But what are they doing with the new guys that are coming in sick? Are they mixing them? Are they moving them over to the quarantine? Are they putting them with the well guys?
So let me advise you this. If it's about 9 to 10 in the morning and you see people hitchhiking from the sheriff's department into town because they were arrested for a DUI, you know, that's how they do it, and they release you the next morning, I wouldn't pick them up because they might have the flu.
And the other thing is, the guys they brought in last night, where did they put them, and what are they doing when they release? They're not letting, if you go to visit someone at county jail right now that's in that section, you're told that you can't see them, which I think is fabulous, because there's, I don't, for those that haven't been there, there's, they're on the other side of glass, but they talk into a telephone. Now, could you imagine taking the guys from West Ward and they all talk into the telephone and hang it back up, and then they bring in other guys? That's a great way to spend.
Oh, sure.
So it's, I think it's a great thing that they're doing, not allowing visitation to the men in that unit. But, you know, they're letting them out, though. You know, if you had the flu, they can't say, oh, you've got to spend 3 more days in jail. You've got the flu. So there's,
right.
you know, there's right. a... people leaving with fevers and sick, which they should, but it, you know, I think that this is likely to spread because of the of what's going on out there.
Oh, I mean, and it's understand, of course, you know. I mean, when you have this close proximity and somebody has the flu and then somebody else gets it, pretty soon it's just compounded. There's almost no way to avoid it.
And this is not the jail's problem. That's why it's irritating when you ask just a question. Can you tell me? And, you know, and I called the health department, and for them to say, we've been told by Rob Rem we're not allowed to talk to anybody about this, I thought that was astounding. That Jeff Ham said, well, I'm going to read in the Tribune and figure out what's going on. He's the head of the health department, and I have been given about 11 documents from the jail showing conference calls. Borenstein, who I was told on vacation, is on all these conference calls discussing what they're going to do. This has been a pretty big issue to them. But then they say, oh, it's a mild flu, it'll all be done in 5 days, and it's not that big a deal. Well, you know, if it wasn't that big a deal, I think many people I've talked to said they've never heard of a quarantine that, like this at San Luis Obispo County Jail ever. And this isn't the first time someone at the jail has the flu.
Well, let us now revisit a story that you posted, I think, today, as a matter of fact, we have somebody joining up with Morro Bay Police, and he is a Morro Bay Police, but he's going to be an undersheriff, and it's not Mr. Brown.
It's not Mr. Brown. It's, what's his name? Tim.
Tim Olivas.
You know, I actually, as a reporter, he has been extremely good about calling back. He is one of the best. There's several in law enforcement that just return calls, answer questions, no matter whether it's good or bad. They just are very upfront. I've always respected him.
Okay, and so here's Chief of the Morro Bay Police Department will replace the retiring Martin Basti. Olivas was described by Parkinson as a trustworthy, forward-thinking leader who shares my views, whatever they may be. So there you go. Anyway, so that's we're good. So there was this big issue about, do we need an undersheriff? You know, that was a debate for a while, and I don't run a sheriff department, so I don't have an answer to that. There's been an undersheriff since I've lived here. You know, so it just seems to be that most sheriff departments, I would say most sheriff departments do have an undersheriff. The top guy has to have somebody to blame. You can't go all the way down to a lieutenant, you know what I mean, because you can't get away with that. But you can always say the undersheriff should have known about that.
It kind of varies from department to department, but yeah, around here lately they've had undersheriffs, and I've looked at it, and some do and some don't. It is someone to back them up and to keep things running.
Let me say this, and I will say this from what I've observed. Our undersheriffs from back 35 years ago till now have improved greatly. We'll just leave it at that as we take a break and rejoin Karen Vili from Cal Coast News when we return after these important messages.
Hey, Pops, what's with all this talk about the Drake?
It's so weird. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about Drake.
Isn't Drake the duck?
Yeah.
Hey, what about Sir Francis Drake?
Famous English explorer and maritime navigator.
How about the Toto Drake?
Now you're talking. In my book, that's the best Drake of all. Toto's Drake toilets are ultra water saving, excellent flushing, have extra tall seats, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has them in stock at really great prices.
I know you love Toto toilets, Pops. That Drake sounds like a winner.
It flushes like a champ, it's easy to install, and it's made by Toto.
So folks should navigate their way down to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and get one of those ducky Drake toilets?
Very clever.
That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, home of the Toto Drake toilet, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
I'm Art Emmer, host of our guest show, The Great American Songbook Reprise.
I'm co-host Shireen. You're listening to Art and Steve Lippia's Get Me to the Church on Time.
from Frank and Frankie, a celebration of the Sinatra romantic eras.
Frank gifted me a singing lesson, and this week colleagues John DeAndrea and Carmine Rubino of Paso Robles Gambino Winery, Hollywood's legendary composer, producer, engineers from John Lennon to Dirty Dancing, explain how they created the soundtracks of our lifetime.
This is part two of our three-part series made possible by our generous sponsors, Gambino Vineyards and Cellars, Doug Coleman of Coleman Forensic Services, Roxanne's Birkenstock, Sculptura Winery and Sculpture Garden.
Ding dong. The Gas Show.
Saturday at 1 p.m., Sunday at 5 p.m.
Alright, when we have Karen Vealy these days here from CalcoastNews.com, we know that we're going to take a trip to Paso Robles there and find out what's going on, and we're in fact going to do that. So Karen, let us talk about what's happening currently in Paso.
With the police story first.
Yeah, whichever one you want to do.
What has gone on is we had written that the numbers that they were giving out regarding their crimes appeared to be falsified. They were claiming they were the same numbers they sent the DOJ, and the DOJ, and I mainly had them look at the burglary stats.
Yeah, let's just so people know, Department of Justice.
Okay. They're in California, you're required by law to send your stats over to the DOJ so they can give them to the FBI. Some states don't require it by law, but in California, every department is required to send in monthly reports. Now, I got this, and I said, this doesn't look right, so I wrote back, and I asked them why it didn't match, and I asked for a copy of all their uniform crime reports as sent to the Department of Justice. Well, I get an email back from the city attorney saying she got the numbers from I sent the request to Solomon, who sent it back to the city attorney Yang, Irish Yang, and she says, we were lucky enough to find all the hard copies, and this way it's going to be real accurate. Well, I'm looking at these hard copies, and for 2002, they have a woman that allegedly filled it out that didn't work there until 2005. The numbers in 2002, the numbers I said specifically that the DOJ said were wrong were suddenly corrected, but other numbers were made to be wrong to keep it looking like Atascadero has crime has gone down, even though the DOJ and the FBI says it has gone up.
Paso,
I'm sorry. That's Paso. And so but they have admitted the numbers that they were giving out to the media, that they gave out to the Tribune and others, are not correct. They say the computer scrambled them. And, again, they gave me numbers that seemed not to make sense again. They said at first they said these were hard copies from back in 2002 on. Now they're saying, oh, we were mistaken. Those weren't hard copies, and the computer did something wrong again. It actually can be a felony if the person in charge of records orders records to be changed.
However, let us ask the question, could they have a computer problem? I mean, could they have a computer problem? In your article, you and Dan sort of say, well, this one computer controls all these other things. And yet I know in San Luis Obispo, different departments have different computer systems because my late sister-in-law programmed some of them.
And we don't say that. What's his name? I think Gary Nemeth, who was a city council person who worked there, said he knows the IT department, and that's what he's been told. And I didn't say that it was not could not be a computer problem, but here's the thing. Does a computer, when you run out a report, does it just add 45 burglaries and a certain amount of burglaries every year that before Lisa Solomon started and then deduct every year afterwards?
One would assume not.
You know, and it, we're not talking about numbers wrong all over the place. We're talking specifically certain things. And again, it's all the things are padded before she starts and taken away after she starts.
Well, Iris Yang also said human error was in there.
She said human error, but then again, she did tell me they sent me the hard copies the next time, which I was able to prove were not correct. So at first she says these are the hard copies, they are accurate. When I say, wait a minute, they're not accurate, then she changes her tune and suddenly they're not hard copies. Well, you can't tell me 4 hours ago you found the hard copies and now, well, we couldn't find the hard copies. That's you know, you can't have it both ways, and I have both an email. This isn't a phone call that it's he said, she said. These are emails where she put it in writing. So that's, you know, if you're going to be a city attorney putting what you claim are facts in writing that you later claim, well, you didn't really quite mean it. It's a strange issue.
Well, I'll tell you that, I don't know what's going on. You know, they have more smog in Paso. That's one of the things the EPA will confirm that. And perhaps it's affecting the way people are thinking these days.
It might be. It might be.
All right. Now, here's the other thing, too. And, of course, actually, Paso's not that bad, really. But they go out to this. They go out where to the California Valley. They have one monitoring station, the California Valley, that the stuff comes in from the Central Valley. And that thing's always off the charts. And so then they say the whole county sucks. And it's like, you know, we're sitting down here breathing fresh air just fine, thank you.
Countywide, we have fairly good air. The problem is out in that area.
All right, here we go. So now we have a task there on Paso Robles violating personnel rules, and this we've talked about this before, if I'm not mistaken.
I broke this story in July.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Brenner did some work, and Mike Brenner is a former mayor of Atascadero and came to me and said, you know, there's a city policy against accruing more than 2 years of vacation time, and there's numerous employees, especially management, and the policy says management is supposed to stop this. Well, the biggest violator with almost a $100,000 payout when he quits in vacation accrual alone is the city manager, Wade McKinney. Second most is, I think, around $600,000 or $700,000 is his assistant, Marcia Torgerson. It's primarily the upper-ranking staff that have just accrued these massive amounts. Meanwhile, he's been given all this extra leave time, which they call administrative leave, where he doesn't have to come in and he can take time off. So he doesn't have to take a vacation. He already has a ton of other types of vacation leave. And but it's against the policy. They're not allowed to do it, and they haven't been enforcing it. And, again, he is supposed to enforce it. So we wrote the story back in July. Shortly after we wrote it, the city council, the city attorney said, you got to fix this. And then they did nothing. And that's according to the grand jury, the San Luis Obispo County grand jury, ran a report, and they found most cities in the county were doing a good job of handling their vacation accrual, except for Paso Robles under Jim App and Atascadero under Wade McKinney. Now, the interesting thing is the worst bar none is Paso Robles with almost, I think it was almost $1,700 in unfunded liability to pay off these employees with these high vacation accruals. But the interesting thing is I saw Jim App on the TV last night, and he said, oh, it's okay. We just make up for it by not hiring anyone until we've paid off the vacation accruals. So I thought that was awful. That's an awful strange way to...
You know what's... this is the thing... You know what? What's baffling to me is it seems that there are people, and I'm going to call a city manager as the highest official next to the mayor in a city, for gosh sakes, and or the you know the yeah. the board the what do you call it the what do you call those people that we elect?
Board of Supervisors.
No, the other ones.
The councilman.
So that's it, city council. Anyway, I'll put that there. So then the next job down there is going to be a city manager, and the city managers. Not only city managers, but there are people that seem to be all around the Central Coast that seem to act with this impunity thing that's like, you know what, I know this isn't the rule, but we'll do it anyway. I'm baffled by how often it's happening and why no one's held accountable for it. Who would hold someone accountable if you say, okay, this is a rule, this has to apply to everybody, and the person goes, not me. Doesn't apply to me. I'm going to do whatever I want.
And they have laws in place to stop this. And both Paso Robles and Atascadero, the city management just doesn't follow the rules, and they're the ones making a ton of money on the taxpayers.
So is the city council then required, or the city attorney? I'll pick anything out of the air. Is there someone that's required to bring to their attention the fact that this is illegal?
Well, when it's brought to their attention, they should do something. In Atascadero, it was brought to their attention in July when we broke the story, I think July 6th or something. And they never did it. I mean, they had a couple meetings. Their attorney said you could fix it this way, or this way. And they ignored it. And I guess someone must have asked them to ask the grand jury then to investigate.
All right, we got someone calling in today. Well, I'm glad of that. And on the phone we have...
Hey, Bill, it's Mike. How you doing?
Hi, Mike. How are you, sir?
All right. You know, the thing that really bothers me is nobody seems to be asking Mr. McKinney and the other controller, you know, how much money are we losing because of accrued time? Because when they first got the vacation time, they were making so much an hour. And when they retire, they're making top pay.
And that's exactly why one of the problems with the accrued vacation time. But again, that's why they have those laws in place. At Paso, they're not supposed to have more than a year and a half of accrued pay available. So if you're going back 20 years of accrued pay, and at that time maybe you were making $20,000 and now you're making $180,000, it makes a huge difference in how much they have to pay out.
Boy, Mike, good, very good point, sir.
And then the other thing is what Mr. McKinney said with the way of, we're just not going to fill the spot for 3 to 5 months to allow that money to equal out. If you don't need to fill the spot for 3 to 5 months, you don't need to refill the spot at all.
Well, there's a good point. But then there's positions that I assume there's positions that do have to be refilled.
Yeah, and there's some, and they just, I think the thing is they just need to follow the law and not allow, if it's over a year and a half old and they're not going to take their vacation, they lose it. Like their city ordinances say, follow the rules and you won't have all this unfunded liability. They're actually saying because they've allowed them to do it for 20 years, now they're stuck and they've got to pay them off. So
yeah, it makes no sense at all. That's like saying, well, we didn't prosecute bank robbery for 20 years, so we're not going to do it now.
Well, here's the thing, though, and you guys are both making this point, I think, and let me reemphasize it. The law specifically says, as Karen has said, you have a year and a half to use this time, this accrued vacation time. If you don't, you lose it. That's what the law says now. The law has said that now for 20 years, has it not?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well, not quite
10
20
years.
Yeah.
I don't care. However long it's been. So
yeah.
So they would have to, by law, it would seem to me, lose whatever time was accrued after that was passed as a law. I mean, how can a city say, well, yeah, but, you know, there's no yeah, but. Here's the law. They say, here's the cutoff point, and now this is how it works. Everybody else that has to work in the world has these kinds of things applied to them. You know, I mean, this is how we all have to operate.
And especially the city manager, who is mandated to make sure this law is followed. Should he
right.
not? Should he have to give up his $100,000 accrued vacation?
Yes.
That's the whole point. I think it's because he is the biggest culprit right now that if he ends up, you know, waiting until his retirement, look at how much money he's going to get when they give him his, anywhere from 5 to 8% increase plus benefits every year.
Now, there has to be somebody else in this chain here, because let's say Wade McKinney, who's supposed to enforce the rule, says, I'm going to retire. And they say, okay, we're going to give you all the money that you have accrued, all the vacation time you have accrued and money. Who's going to do that? Because what they're doing then is breaking the law. Wade McKinney's already breaking the law. But if somebody then says, we will cut you a check for all the time you have, whoever that may be is as guilty then as Wade McKinney is. Because that's breaking the law.
Unless they were to turn around and to say, we will pay you your back vacation time at the cost of what it was back when you had those weeks. So, in other words, when you first started out and it was $1,000, $2,000, whatever it might be a week, that's what we'll pay you instead of the $4,000 that it is now that you would get.
Well, and you would do it for a year and a half. For one, a month and a half. You would do it for a month and a half. You'd go back to where it was, and the moment the person surpassed the month and a half that they were supposed to then use anything else or lose it, they lose it.
And it's, I think it's 2 years in, they can have up to 2 years vacation, not 2 years total days, but 2 years of their amount of vacation. So they have 4 weeks vacation a year. They get 8 weeks in Atascadero, and Paso Robles, their law says a year and a half worth of their amount of vacation.
I, you know, these things are black and white. I don't, for the life of me, understand. But, you know, and it would seem to me that city attorneys are there to enforce these kinds of laws.
Well, you know, the city attorneys are, I think, half the, you know, I was forwarded some emails from the attorney for the district council for Oceano. And she is actually recommending they break the law with records requests to keep people from asking for documents anymore. Don't allow it. Don't give it to them. Don't allow them to get electronic documents. Absolutely in opposition of the law. And I see this over and over again where the city attorneys or the district attorneys are actually promoting breaking the law to their clients.
Jeez.
Amazing thing. It, Mike, thanks very much.
That's scary. It's that the cities have become above the law.
It's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Yep. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Let me give you phone numbers again in case you want to call in, 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. We got somebody else on the phone, so we're going to talk to somebody else right now. And we're talking to?
Hi, it's me again. I'm sorry, but tell the Beach Boys to eat at Taco Rocco, number 13. It's a bomb shrimp dish, and then across the way, Roberto's does good omelet.
Let me ask you a question. What radio station do you think you dialed?
Hi, the Beach.
Nope, we're in the same building, but you dialed KYNS.
Well, let everybody know that.
Okay, fine. You have
the best.
Thank you. We don't mind free advertising partway through the program. It's fine.
Number 13.
All right.
Yeah, bitchin'. Good stuff.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
But I'm going to say that that's part of California vernacular, the word bitchin'. And I say that because I had never heard the word until I was in the Navy, and I met a guy from California that used that word.
Okay.
And I go, you can't just use that word, can you? He goes, yeah, we all use it. I go, okay, fine. All right, we got somebody else on the phone. You might as well leave those headphones on there. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Hello?
Bitchin'. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
And this is Pete from San Luis.
Hi, Pete.
And I've been using that word for many decades. I love it.
Yeah, that's why I say it. I think with the rest of I came from, you know, Jersey, and, you know, we didn't have that word, but I think it's probably a beach word.
Years ago, I put an ad up at Cal Poly and their housing board.
Uh-huh.
I used that word.
Uh-huh.
I got a few calls a few days later from some young gal up there saying I couldn't do that in my ad.
You know what's interesting?
They don't do profanity. And I went, no, it's got nothing to do with female dogs and stuff like that.
I really don't get it. There's an expression that is the drawn out version of PO'd. If you're PO'd.
Yeah.
And that's now come into use on network television. I mean, network news. I've heard it used.
Wow.
And I don't use it. I'm not ready to use that.
I made me call. I'd like to go back a few topics to Rob Rim.
Yeah, please do.
And even though he's gone, we're all being ever so sensitive and delicate about that. I recall during the sheriff's race that he had put out a notice proclaiming Joe Cortez and his supporters being communists. And I was just inflamed about that.
That's inflammatory, for sure.
Any decent human ought to be using that kind of antique Joe McCarthy verbiage in this day and age in an organized community. And I've never really gotten over that. I think that was such a poor judgment call on his part. And I know Aaron is aware of it.
Yes, I was. And he did say that supporters of Joe Cortez were communists. He also used public equipment at the sheriff's office to promote Ian Parkinson for sheriff. And he was very, in the beginning, he was a campaign manager for Ian Parkinson. He announced his campaign. So he was very involved in the campaign and using very defamatory comments while sitting as a public information officer for the sheriff's department.
Yeah, this is all highly inappropriate.
Yeah, this is not to apologize, but to understand that relationship. They were very close friends, and Sheriff Parkinson, when Rob first came to San Luis Obispo, he lived with Sheriff Parkinson for a short time, you know, until he could get on his own place. So, I mean, they were very close, but that's neither here nor there, but it is here nor there, because I want to explain what that relationship was. But that doesn't mean you campaign by calling somebody else a commie.
Yeah, and I mean, people that like Cortez, that doesn't mean you're communist. I find that kind of talk during an election very strange.
If you want to call Kim Jong-un a commie, you can. Because he is. But
what about you guys? You commies?
I don't know. I every day I wake up and I ask myself as I'm putting on my pants, what am I today?
I've been called just about everything.
All right.
Thank you very much, Pete. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, sir. Bye. All right, once again, we'll give you phone numbers so you can call if you'd like. And our numbers are 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. We're at about 8 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock. As I mentioned before, Jim D. won't be in today. He's just running around and got things going on. And then he said maybe next week, but we got in the middle of the film festival next Friday, so I don't know about that. But anyway, so he's busy. So I asked Karen if she could stay on for a little bit after the news, and she said yes, we will, because we still have other things to get to and talk about. This is interesting because I just had breakfast with a friend from Atascadero, and here we have this thing about the Southern California lawmaker offering a proposal to change the state's disability laws to combat what he calls extortion of businesses by exploitative individuals and lawyers. Now, what was the name of the guy we had in the Central Coast Rip?
Yeah, he was, yes, and we had a big problem with him.
All right, well, I'll see if I can remember it. All right, let's get on the phone again. Hello? They changed their mind, or something happened. I thought I did it right. Gosh, I got to think of his
name. Was a lot of people at that time, businesses that he would, small businesses that he would come in, and he would threaten to sue them, and he'd say, okay, you can pay me off, just give me $10,000. Well, a lot of businesses are $5,000, couldn't afford it. And then he would go after. He was finally told that he could not legally sue anymore.
Right, in California.
Yeah.
And he did succeed in closing some businesses down. I mean, he actually, they were screwed. They had to close down. And so here's what I've heard has happened in Atascadero. Atascadero has put in, you know, the wheelchair access type of curbs.
Yeah.
Okay, on the corners. They are put in, they put them in a 2.5% slope. Now, apparently, there's now a law that says, a state law, that says they have to be a 2% slope. And they just got done doing this. So now, they've already paid one person who threatened to sue them. And so now, they're saying, okay, we're going to have to take them all out and put new ones in. Now, the people who have reacted to that have said, excuse me, I can push a baby carriage up a 2.5% slope, and most people in wheelchairs can certainly handle it. It's not like a big deal, this thing, but they have to be changed. Or else we're going to get the same problem. The same thing's going to happen. You're going to have to start, everybody in the world's going to start suing the city.
And I do, I do see the reason for a law not to be quite so restrictive. Especially with the amount of business that, you know, if you're a small business, yes, you need to have accessibility. But for him to be able to go in and play hardball like he was doing to very small businesses, I found very egregious.
Here was the big issue, and he knew it. Here's the problem, and he knew it. He could go into newer businesses that, you know, could easily comply with it or already were complying. He went to the real old places. So you have a real old place. There's no place left to expand the bathroom. You can't really make it, you know, wheelchair compatible. Well, you can make it wheelchair compatible, but you don't have time to expand it, put rails and all that. You don't have room. Those are the kinds of places this guy was going all the time, and these are the kinds of places he shut down. I'll tell you one place I remember in particular: the Hungry Fisherman in Morro Bay had to shut down because they just couldn't do it, and they couldn't afford it. I mean, it was like you have to build a whole new building to make it work. You know, crazy stuff.
And I wonder if that's why a lot of places don't allow the public to use their bathroom, because they don't have the funds to make them handicapped accessible.
And again, and it's also a liability. You know, if you have your own employees, you know, and if you allow, you know, people always get sort of angry about, well, there's a sign that says no public restrooms, you know, and people seem to get upset about it. But the reality of it is that's the reality of it. Is, you know, you go and you walk in a building, and then you all of a sudden are a liability to the people that own the building. You know, so why do they want you in their bathroom? You know, I don't think it has to do with the fact that they're not being generous with the amount of water. There was a time, though, you know, when this really started was when we had our drought back in the late 80s.
Oh.
Then all of a sudden, everybody in the world put a sign up that said, we don't want you. And it was because they couldn't afford the water for people flushing the toilet. I mean, this was a reality. So that's when I saw a lot of it start. But I was at the station on a radio station right at the corner, Walnut and Choro. It's become a real estate thing. I don't know what it says now. Anyway, but it was built as a radio station. And we had a woman who was homeless. And she would sneak into go to the door, see where the ladies were in the front, you know, or whoever worked in the front. And then she'd dart into the bathroom and lock the door and use the bathroom. And then she'd open the door real fast and dart back out of that building. You know what I mean? So, you know, and the sad part is, I'll be sympathetic to not being able to have a shower available, but it would linger long, you know, this smell. And the girls weren't happy about it. You know, I mean, I have employees that can't use the ladies' room, and the men's room nobody would go into. And so, I had another problem. So, you know, so eventually they waved at me and said, she's in there, you know. So I posted myself in front of the door. And when she came out running for the door, I said, stop. I have to tell you, you really are not allowed to use this bathroom. And I feel bad. You know, you feel bad about it. But when you have other problems that arise from it, you know, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so that was it. We sort of nipped it in the bud, sort of. Anyway, we're going to do our little music out here, and then Karen's going to stick around for a little while longer, and we'll come back. Our phone number is, once again, 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. If there's something you've read at calcoastnews.com, if there's something you've read anywhere else that has to do with the Central Coast, or if you just have a hot topic, I'm willing, because there is a hot topic out there today, and I might bring that one up with Karen myself.
What's a hot topic?
There were new reports of tornado sightings in Kentucky and Indiana today. Two apparent twisters caused destruction and injuries, but no deaths in northern Alabama. Storm chaser David Ruffini.
A lot of structural damage, homes. I don't know if it missed the school completely. There might have been a little damage at the Meridianville Middle School. A lot of power lines down.
He says his vehicle shook in the 100-mile-an-hour winds.
I'm Jim Grizzled in Oak Grove, Kentucky. The explosive storms across mid-America are being fueled by a violent clash of cold and warm air. It's near 80 degrees here in southern Kentucky, and in the mid-30s with snow falling just a few hundred miles to the north. Supercell tornadoes and golf ball-sized hail have been reported in parts of central and southern Indiana.
Super Tuesday is just days away, and a lot of eyes are on Ohio.
All of a sudden, Ohio's very competitive, says Ohio State political scientist Paul Beck. A new poll shows Mitt Romney closing in on Rick Santorum, bolstered mainly by moderates. While a strong conservative grassroots effort is underway to lift up Santorum here,
I think Romney's strength is that Republicans see him as the most likely person to be able to beat Obama. That's important for them.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Mentor, Ohio.
It cost a pretty penny to get those American pro-democracy workers out of Egypt.
The State Department now says the NGOs paid their bail out of funding they received from the U.S. government. It's unclear whether the Americans will return for trial or whether their bail money, said to be nearly $5 million, would be returned even if they do. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland said the U.S. continues to negotiate with the Egyptian government in the hopes the charges will be dropped.
CBS's Cammie McCormick. Some big changes coming to baseball. CBS's Peter King with details.
Major League Baseball is making the wild card a little bit wilder. It's adding a second wild card team to each league for the 2012 season. The two American League and two National League wild cards will have a one-game playoff or play-in to determine who goes on to the division series against one of the division champions. Previous postseason changes, the World Series went from 9 to 7 games during the early part of the 20th century. Baseball expanded and split its leagues into two divisions back in 1969, and finally, three divisions with a single wild card team in 1994. Peter King, CBS News.
Rush Limbaugh isn't backing down after calling a Georgetown law student who advocates insurance coverage for contraception a slut on the EIB network today.
Do you ever think maybe it's your responsibility for your own birth control, not everybody else's? Nobody raises those questions.
President Obama called Sandra Fluke today, spokesman Jay Carney.
He, like a lot of people, feels that the kinds of personal attacks that that have been directed her way are inappropriate.
This is CBS News.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
What does hope look like? It looks like people with type 1 diabetes, whether diagnosed at 3 or 33, they hope for a future without worry. I'm Mary Tyler Moore, and I have type 1 diabetes too. The Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation is accelerating the crucial research that represents the hope for a cure. With your help, we'll find it. Please call 1-800-533-CURE or go to jdrf.org today.
At the close on Wall Street, the Dow is down 3 points. Europe trying to step up pressure on Syria.
The EU says it will begin collecting evidence of atrocities in homes to ensure the Syrian regime is held accountable. British Prime Minister David Cameron also assigns blame to those members of the United Nations Security Council who've rejected resolutions condemning the Syrian government.
The Assad regime is butchering its own people. So I say to the Russians and to the Chinese, look hard at the suffering from Syria and think again about supporting this criminal regime.
Russia and China have now supported one resolution expressing deep disappointment Syria has blocked the UN humanitarian envoy and much-needed aid. Terry Schultz for CBS News, Brussels.
The political scientist whose work launched the community policing movement has died. James Wilson had been treated for leukemia. He died at a Boston hospital. He was 80 years old. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
When you were a kid, you had all sorts of toys. Toy cars, boats, trucks, entire toy boxes full of fun. Of course, you never really outgrow your toys, do you? It's just that now, instead of a box full, you have a garage full. Cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, and more. As you get older, your love of toys just gets stronger. So protect those toys the best way possible by switching to Allstate. An Allstate agent can help do the switching, paperwork, bundle all your policies together, and even find you a bunch of discounts. So if you love your toys, make sure you protect your toys by making one call to an Allstate agent.
Protect all your toys with Allstate. Find an agent near you at allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
Now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Have you ever worked with Coastal Computers? Coastal Computers is here for the small business. The small business that needs computers, technology, and networking to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. They're here for the small business that needs to get it right the first time, who can't afford the pain and the horror stories that we've all heard about. Coastal Computers has been making the tough stuff easy for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're worth a call at 543-9047. Call 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. ccslo.com right now. The small business favorite's favorite, ccslo.com. Coastal Computers.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed, which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great weekend.
Happy Friday to you. Hi, you're with Bill, talking to you, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station, because we're hooked up with, of course, CalcoastNews.com, and Karen Vinnie's with me today on this Friday. And normally Jim D would be in at this time, but Jim's too busy, so I asked Karen if she wanted to stay on board for a little bit, because we have some local stuff we want to tell you about. And then there's one national issue right at the moment that we need to nail on, because it's the things that are being said by both sides are a little bit like, whoa. Okay, so we'll get to that. Let's first get to how things are going in the South County. You know, when we had the cross-burning thing, there was a big issue of, are there racial tensions in Arroyo Grande?
And the interesting thing is there's some really aggressive racial literature being posted up around the city in different spots. And it's basically saying if you're, you know, if poor white children and trying to, you know, they're going to grow up and be the minority, and the blacks and Hispanics will not treat them as well as we've treated them, and, you know, what's, you know, stop this, take action now. Really, and it's much more aggressive than I'm saying it is. Well, yeah, there was a, and it was actually the mother of the, and the daughter with the cross burning stopped at the Shell station to get gas and look up, and there's this racial literature posted and above the, on front of the advertisements. She gives me a call, so I run over and I get the ads from her. And I walk inside and I ask the guy working there, and he says, oh, it's been going on for months, and this isn't even as bad as some of it. And I go over and I stop by the Arroyo Grande Police Department, and they tell me it's been going on for months, and they've seen it around town, but they thought it was countywide, and that it's just not Arroyo Grande. I don't see a lot of racial anti, you know, it's basically don't let whites, you know, let's keep the race white, let's keep the area white. Would you want, you know, would Africans
the area is white.
Would Africans get mad if we went to Africa and tried to get their women to sleep with white men? It's just kind of really weird stuff.
Boy, that is weird stuff. Now, here's the, and again, once again, you scratch your head and you go, say what? So, in other words, somebody goes to the Shell station, puts a rack of some kind of information on a pump, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and then drives off. And nobody at the gas station bothers to check the pumps to see if there's this racist literature being posted on their pumps
well,
every
been,
day.
No, they've been taking it down, but I don't know how often it's happening, but they have been taking it down. And the gentleman I talked to appeared Hispanic, and he seemed a little bit disturbed by it himself.
If I own a gas station, I say once an hour you're going to do two things. You're going to look in the restrooms and make sure they're tidy, and then you're going to walk around the pumps and make sure that there's no funny literature on our flipping.
No anti-racial.
Yeah, you know. I don't quite get it. Okay. Another one of those things we don't get. I wanted to do one thing that's national news because it hit the airwaves was it this morning or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Okay, so Rush Limbaugh got on one of his jiggy jags. And so there was a young lady from Georgetown Law, and I don't have her name done, but she said, you know, she thinks that insurance plans should pay for birth control. So now Rush wasn't happy. He didn't like that at all. So Rush called her on the air. He called her a slut and a prostitute. You know, he said, what else would you call somebody that you give money to? You know? Here's the weird thing. Of course, that's a kind of a Rush overreaction. You know, it's one of those things that he does. But we got a lot of listeners. So, you know, there's a lot of people go, yeah, go get them, brother. So that's fine. Whatever. But here's the deal. The weird part of the story is the girl said, because I watched her say it, the girl said that birth control would cost her $3,000 a year and take up all the money she could make in a summer. Now, I'm not a woman. I don't know what birth control costs, but do you have some vague idea?
I think it's probably anywhere from $20 to $70 a month. So it's
that's
really
$3,000.
I can't see it unless you're wanting to go to the most expensive doctor in town. You know, you go to a doctor and they usually prescribe for a year, so it's not something you have to, you know. Or it is Rush saying if you take birth control, you're a slut? Because yeah. That's kind of...
Yep, that's it right there.
Gonna
that's a jar. That's a jar. If you take birth control, you're a slut. To just add more confusion to the already volatile issue of this whole birth control thing that's going on. Anyway.
Why has this election, this presidential election, denigrated into birth control and women's rights?
Because you know that when you start touching on those things, you are going to create firestorms every which way but Sunday. And that's why. And I think that's why. And here was this thing in Virginia I mentioned. It was not to be believed in Virginia. Everybody, you know, all the late show talk show guys are making fun of it and making jokes. I'm not going to make a joke about it. But here, Virginia had passed a law that said a woman, before she had an abortion, had to go in and have this thing inserted in her so pictures could be taken. And then she had to look at the pictures. Woman had to succumb to. So then, everybody raised heck in the whole wide world, of course, in the country. They said, what are you, out of your mind? You can't do that to people. And so they said, okay. So now they do have to have a sonogram. They do have to go in and have a sonogram done so that the woman can see that there's a human being inside her before she decides to have an abortion. And I've said this many times. I have never had to be involved in an abortion, so I don't have a dog in the fight. I know why some people feel very strongly against abortion, and I know why some people say, nope, this is really a good idea, because you know what, we are overpopulated now, and if you don't want the kid, what are you going to do with it? So I understand the arguments, but the part that has to set itself aside from all of that is the part that you have men in elected bodies telling women what they have to do with themselves. And I find that really disturbing. You know, if you took all the, if the women legislators got together and said, okay, we're going to have a special committee that decides what happens with birth control or abortion or anything like that, good. The women should go do that. I've always said by the time a woman needs an abortion, the man has already screwed up and abdicated his, no, really, and abdicated his right, as far as I'm concerned, to say anything. You know, oh, I want my child. No, you didn't want the child at all. And she didn't want the child, and you'd lied to her, or probably, and, you know, if that was the case. And I'm sorry, you're out of the game. You know, your opinion doesn't even matter now because you didn't care enough to care enough. So, that's me. But anyway, but you know, it creates all this havoc and mayhem, you know, when this stuff comes up.
And I think in the long run it's going to hurt the Republican Party that they are making it such a big issue right now, because there's a lot of younger people going, what in the world is this? And younger people, college students in a whole, they talk very passionately before an election, but very few actually vote.
Right.
It's very unlikely. But they're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it's going to affect, you know, how people think, because I don't think a lot of people think that's a big issue right now.
I don't talk to women about their birth control, except one woman. But I still generally have the impression, okay, as someone watching the news, I certainly have the impression that despite the Catholic Church doctrine saying, you know, you don't do it, they do it. They just say, okay, you know, you're wrong about this thing. I hate to tell you, but you're wrong about this thing, and we're just going to have birth control. That's the way it is, you know. There's no reason not to do it. So, you know, we're still good Christians. We still love God. We still the whole darn thing, you know. But we don't have to worry about getting pregnant every 2 days. You know, so that's, I mean, that's, you know, I just think that's reality right now.
And you're not seeing a lot of families with 13, 15 kids like you used to, you know, decades ago. So I don't think that, I don't think most people are not using birth control.
However, let me reread this.
Okay.
This is a letter from yesterday, which I'm still scratching my head going, I'm not sure what she's talking about, but okay. All right. This is a letter from yesterday from Valmir in Napomo, and it's called A Woman's Joy, A Mother's Joy. I write in defense of motherhood. I am a mother of 10 wonderful children. My husband and I raised them all to adulthood. They are all married, and all but one are parents. They're good citizens, contribute to our country. I am 83 now and proud of my accomplishment. Yet it wasn't easy, but we all know that it often takes some pain to gain what is worthwhile. Just ask an athlete. My spirit is joy-filled when I observe them now as adults relating to and supporting each other as dear friends. When they tell me how grateful they are for giving them so many brothers and sisters, there is joy only a mother can know. I am saddened to see motherhood rejected and diminished in our culture by so many, especially sad to see women resorting to drugs, pills, chemical injections, and devices like the IUD, condoms, etc., to interfere with the natural function of the body, which may even cause harm. Now we have highly reliable methods of natural family planning, not rhythm, for spacing children. Check it out on the Internet. If I go on the internet, what am I going to find that's going to naturally, without rhythm method, space out children?
I don't know.
Abstinence? You know, I don't claim to know everything, but I think most of us that are adults tend to understand how the whole program works, you know what I mean? How babies, where they come from, and how they're made. We all seem to understand that, and I don't know what she's talking about.
Can you imagine the population and the poverty if everyone was still having 10 children?
No. And you know what really, here's the, and then of course there, you speak to the problem of poverty. That's why there is the poverty there is in so many countries, is because these people aren't practicing any kind of birth control. They consider it abnormal to practice birth control. The other thing, obviously, in this country, who in the world could afford 10 children now? I mean, no, seriously, besides, you know, the city managers. I mean, there's only, the city managers are the only people that could afford 10 kids. And a couple of the guys out the men's colony. You just can't afford 10 children. It's just not even reasonable, you know.
And the other thing is, you can't even drive them anywhere. Could you imagine trying to get 10 car seats? Aren't they in car seats now till 6 years old?
Yeah, they have to, yeah.
I mean, there's no way to get all your kids in a car with all those car seats. They're bulky and big.
I'll admit, you know, we had, because see, now there's laws. We had, well, there was eight of us. And that's just as bad as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we tried to keep my father away from my mother every way we could. You know, we thought and tried to think of all kinds of schemes. We didn't know exactly what happened in there, but we knew it wasn't good. So anyway, the back in those days, you know, we all got shoved in a station wagon. You know, there's no seat belts, no anything. You know, everybody just piled all into the darn thing, you know, and you're floating all over the place.
Hold this one.
You know, it's like, you know, that's the way it was. Anyway, so very interesting. So anyway, this is, you know, Rush and his cohort in crime, Glenn Beck, you know, and all these people that are extreme to the left and people that are extreme to the right. I said this about Ann Coulter yesterday. I said, you know, Wednesday. I said it's really just a lot of it, whether you believe, no, understand it or not, is entertainment. It's actually entertainment. They are entertaining themselves at your behest, you know, and why would you take a lot of what's said by anyone that's extremely political? Why would you take it to heart to begin with? You know, take some of it to heart, I guess, you know, that makes sense. But the stuff that stops making sense, stop paying attention to, because what are you doing that for? You know, that's my opinion. And I'm not just saying that about Republicans. I'm saying about Democrats also, because there's people that are on the right that are, you know.
But when you call someone basically a slut and a prostitute that's using birth control, I think that's really taking, you're really.
But he was right about this. I'm sorry. He was right about this. Here's the thing. So today he said, well, what about Bill Maher goes on the thing and calls women in politics, you know, he calls them, Sarah Palin. He said he's forever called Sarah Palin the C word. Now, in defense of Rush, which I'm not going to really do, but I will agree with Rush, and Bill Maher does do that. Now, is that any more appropriate than what Rush did? No. But here we have this old thing about two wrongs don't make a right. You know what I mean? Rush Limbaugh goes, well, I can say that because Bill Maher says this.
But there's a little bit of a difference here. He's calling her the C word because he doesn't like her personally. He's not saying women that take the pill are sluts. He's not saying a whole group of people. He's saying he's pointing at one person and calling that person a name.
Well, and here's the hypocrisy of it. I don't know who Mrs. Limbaugh is, but it would be interesting to find out what she uses. You know, so yeah, it gets dicey on both sides of the fence right there. So it's just one
how
of those issues.
How many kids
that's
does Limbaugh have?
I don't know. I don't know how many kids he does have. I don't know about these people, but anyway, it's a very interesting topic. But you're right. The interesting part of this is really what's as we've watched this Republican march toward the White House, and President Obama also saying, okay, well now I'm going to do this and now I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, he's like, okay, I'm going to try to hit my center again, which everybody tries to do at some point. If in fact Santorum or what's his face,
Romney,
become the candidate, you can be assured while they're out here now, they're trying to appeal to a political base, a Republican base. If they be nominated, they're going to start wandering back to the middle because that's where you have to be to have people vote for you. You know, if you want to get as many votes as you can. Because, you know, there's so many undecideds these days and so many independents these days that say, you know, that's how they're registered. They go, okay, you know, I'm not buying the whole hook, line, and sinker platform idea, you know. And I've been that way ever since I could vote. But, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting what's going on. Anything else that's going on that you want to talk about? Big deal. You got anything, can you tease us about anything coming up?
We have a couple medical stories we're working on that are going to be very interesting. There's supposed to be some of the lawsuits filed against Paso coming up soon. I also have we're going to have something coming out over the weekend, probably about Oceano, and which I think is kind of interesting. The city, I think I brought it up, the city attorney actually recommending that they do not follow the law in order to keep people from requesting public records. And they actually had one woman arrested for getting angry when they wouldn't give her minutes to meetings. They have a lot of rules there that are absolutely against the government code, and they just do it anyway. So it's,
you know, what's interesting too. I think I've told you this story, but it gets to be like, what is it you think you're accomplishing? I remember years and years ago, back in another radio station, I was a program director. Lady came in and she said, "Could I see your public records file?" I said, "Sure, you can." You know, that's what you have it for. So I said, I'll give you a desk to use and all that, you know. And she said, do I have to pay to have copies made? I said, we can require you to pay 15 cents, but I'm not going to. Do whatever you need to do. Are you going to copy the whole thing? She goes, no, I'm looking for something specific, and I'll see if I can find it. I said, I have an idea. Why don't you just ask me what it is, and then maybe I can help you. And so she was like, I don't know what will happen if I tell you. I said, let me see if I can surprise you. So it was very weird. It turned out it was somebody from the Mothers for Peace, and they wanted to know how many commercials PG&E had run in favor of Diablo Canyon. Because back then, with the fairness doctrine, you had to allow other people to run, and if they were a nonprofit, you had to, you know, provide as a public service announcement. So I said, well, you're not going to find that in the public file. That's the sales function. You know, we can show you shows we've done. Those will be in there, things we've done on the topic of nuclear power in Diablo Canyon. But that doesn't have anything to do with how much advertising they've run. So I said, why don't I find out for you how much advertising they've been running here? Because it was like they had just started for a spurt there. So I said, okay. So I went and got the contract, and I showed it to her. I said, okay, here's what they're running, and this is what it costs them. And so I said, so... you know, I think at that time we were required to run 1 in 5, okay, for free. I said, I'll tell you what we'll do, because this is San Luis Obispo. It's very controversial here. It's right in our backyard. Well, I'll run you 1 for 2. Every time they run 2, I'll run you 1. What do you think? She goes, well, don't you want? How come you weren't arguing with me about this? I said, what? Why wouldn't I make it harder? You're eventually, if you pursue it, are going to find out what you need to find out. And why don't I just make it easy for you to find out? So I have to go through all this nonsense. You know, I don't need it. You know, but it's so weird. And I'm not setting myself apart like, well, Bill's just a good guy. He does that because I can't think. But then again, I'll tell you, I can't think of something that somebody came in and requested that I said, none of your damn business. You know.
And that's what this in this email, which she accidentally sent to the person trying to get a records request instead of who she planned on. It says, you know, if we make it hard, they won't ask for as many public records. And I thought, so which she forwarded on to Terry Frank, and Terry Frank said, that's not legal. They can't try to make it hard, so you stop acting. There's asking for records. There's a reason for the California Records Act. It's in order to have public transparency. It was put in when government officials were breaking the law and not allowing the public to have transparency. In order to have transparency, there's good reasons behind this. So you have an attorney telling a manager of a district, break the law and stop them. This will just stop them from going for records. And by law, you don't have to. If you want a public record, the act says they cannot make you put it in writing. Well, they've got a policy they're putting in writing. They had a sign up on the wall said, we give nothing without 10 days wait, not even minutes for meetings. Well, they can't make those policies. That's against the Public Records Act. But they, again, have full support of their attorney, Molly Thurman, with Hall and Hyatt. And she is absolutely behind them doing it their way.
This reminds me yesterday of the thing that happened in the courts. The people that owned some Honda weren't getting the miles they were supposed to get. So yeah. they have a class action suit where each person would get $200 thereabouts. And so one lady said, this has cost me more than that in fuel from what they told me I was going to get to what I was going to get when I bought this car 5 years ago. So she went to small claims court and got $8,000.
Yeah.
So now, of course, what the court made an injunction, a judge made an injunction, said you can't do that. You know, you can't take them to small claims court. And I was so encouraging that. I couldn't tell you how. I was just hands over fist going, yeah, go ahead and do that.
They all should be able to.
I think so, too. I think, you know, this is, I don't use a cliche on TV, but I'm going to say it. It's the people's court. I mean, it really is the people's court. Yeah. And so if you've been wronged by somebody, you have a right to present your evidence against them. They have a right to defend themselves against you. But nonetheless, that's why we have a small claims court. So people have access.
I know there's a lot of frivolous lawsuits out there, and you read over claims to cities, and half of them you just shake your head and say, "Are you kidding me?" You know, for example, somebody that I don't know his name, but he said he worked for the city, pushed me, or something. You're reading this, you're going, and you want $10,000. I mean, some of these things are just ludicrous.
Yeah, and so here, that's why we have a small claims court. Yeah. So you say, okay, there's no lawyers involved. You go nose to nose with the person that you're saying you wronged me, and here's how, and then the judge makes a decision. I mean, what could be more cool about the United States of America than that? And then you have a judge step in the middle of this, like we're talking about, with records, information, that kind of thing, going, well, no, that's not right. You can't do that. You can't? Why not? I mean, what do you mean you can't? Anyway, so that's what's going on this week. We're getting together with Karen Billy. Going to be available next week?
Yeah.
All right, good. So Karen will be back in next Friday. We'll talk about the week of review then. If something really amazing breaks in betwixt and between, Karen will get herself in here and we'll tell you about it. And I thank you very much for joining us on our week in review with CalcoSnews.com.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it.
Yes, you. Look, we both know you've been dragged over the coals these last few months. Running, shopping, wrapping, eating, traveling, entertaining, cleaning. Whew, it's been crazy. Now we want you to do something for you. How's this sound? Slow County Local. A cozy, tucked away, elegant yet relaxed craftsman style inn with your own private hot tub. Secluded elegance mixed with divine peace and quiet for you and your partner. Sounds pretty great right about now, doesn't it? Well, the Avila Village Inn is great. And when you add in plentiful, relaxing, and healthy outdoor activities to go with your gentle slumbering, you and your partner are all set for a most beneficial quick trip to relaxation land. Now the best part. Through March 31st, you can enjoy one of Avila Village Inn's beautiful hot tub deluxe packages for just $99 a night, Sunday through Thursday. So, as you can see, you now really have but one decision to make. Honey, when are we leaving for Avila Village Inn? Avila Village Inn, in beautiful Avila Beach, California, or online at avilavillageinn.com.
Spring is the perfect time to get your garden back in shape with Farm Supply. Hi, this is Chelsea, and I have some great news. Vegetables and herbs have arrived at Farm Supply. We're proud to be your local source for all your home and garden needs. You can trust our knowledgeable staff to help you find the right product, technique, or helpful hint to make your backyard blossom. Stop by our San Luis Obispo store for our annual clinic series in March. Saturday, March 3rd from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're talking tomatoes with experts Steve Godo and Giselle Schoniger. They will provide you with helpful tips on growing tomatoes with success in healthy soil. Chicks are hatching and arriving weekly at a farm supply near you. That means it's time for our annual chicken Q&A on Saturday, March 10th. Barbara Bullock will be on hand to answer all your questions about raising backyard chickens. Find us online at farmsupplycompany.com or follow us on Facebook. Visit us in Paso Robles on Ramada Drive and Buellton on McMurray Road. We're also located in Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, and San Luis Obispo. At Farm Supply, we have everything you need for the farmer in you.
big ending right there. David Lance called Dark Horse. Excuse me. I apologize. You're Bill Beck. I talk to you, friends and neighbors, Necron 1340 KYNS, your news station. It's 137, and we're supposed to have a really nice weekend, by the way. We're supposed to have temps in the mid-70s and stuff, and sunshine, happiness, and joy. Cold at night, though, still. Cold. All right, let me tell you about Spencer's Fresh Market, where fresh is local, because things are going on. Now, wait, we had a special thing that was only for a couple days, and I want to make sure, because it was here. Dun, 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 dun. Where was it? Yeah, you're sitting here on your duff. And you're losing it, buddy. I have to tell you. All right, let me just tell you some of the great things going on. Indoor Farmers Market, sweet white corn, 3 years for a dollar. Haas avocados, listen to this, 3 for $1. Unbelievable. 3 pounds of taters for $1. Loose russets. Sweet. Kiwi fruit, 5 for $1. That's just all this good stuff. Ruffles, tater chips. They have Tostitas tortilla chips or Ruffles potato chips, 2 for $6 for Ruffles, 2 for $6 for tortillas, and Tostitos, I guess it's called. And then Doritos are just $3.49, for gosh sake. And they got Dreyer's ice cream for $3.49 and Haagen-Dazs for $3.29 for a four-count package. And then they don't forget always the deli stuff, because all of the deli meats and deli cheeses and wonderful things, Boar's Head pepper jack cheese is just the best. They have meat lasagna for $3.99 a pound. Remember I told you they have all these hot foods you can buy. Tell you something else about it. Fresh coleslaw, $1.79 a pound. This is a really creamy, good coleslaw, you know, that really has a lot of flavor to it and all that, you know, not that, you know, stuff where you go, yes, so what? Okay, it's really good. Spencer's chicken peppercorn sandwich is $5.99 right now. And you can get some stuff here that's great. So anyway, they got everything you need for the weekend, you know, you got your brewskis and wine and champagne, whatever you're celebrating. And then other great stuff. Oh, here's the 2-day sale real quick. Here's today. Here you go. I'll take a little extra time. Betty Crocker cornbread muffin mix, 2 for $1. Springfield biscuits, 2 for $1. IGA granulated sugar, $2.49 for a 4-pound bag. Springfield Vicks vegetables, 99 cents. Springfield mandarin oranges, 2 for $1. Awesome degreaser and cleaner, 24-ounce spray bottle, just 69 cents. Dole pineapple, 99 cents. Tabasco hot sauce, $1.29 a holler. Paseo facial tissue, 99 cents. Aussie Awesome shampoo, a 13.5-ounce bottle for just $2.99. Those are going on right now, today only. Do you hear me? And Frisky's wet cat food, 2 for $1. And then Western Family Aspirin, $1.99. There you are. Okay, that's what's going on. Spencer's in 5 locations on the Central Coast. Make sure you get to one of yours. And don't forget to get some fresh hamburger meat. San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Arroyo Grande, and Santa Maria. Okay, now let me mention something else about me. Because we have a new lineup that's coming, some of the same people, but a different order sometimes. This all had to do with one person shifting, and that was Tom Hartman decided that he wanted to be on at a different time of the day than Ed Schultz. So here's what we got. So we're going to have Ed Schultz on, as a matter of fact, and then we're also going to have Tom Hartman. So it's going to be Bill Press in the middle of the night, Stephanie Miller in the morning. Then Ed Schultz, then Bill Benica, then Tom Hartman, then Randy Rhodes is coming back, and Clark Howard, and then there's a new show, Happiness in America, whatever it's called. So that's going on. The 17th, we're supposed to have that in place. Of course, we were supposed to have other things in place by certain days, and we didn't come within a mile of it, so you know, don't hold me to that, but that's the idea. All right, now, a lot of thanks to people that have helped make some recovery in this place. All right, financially. Tebow and Swift, a match made in heaven? That certainly sounds like it to me. I don't know. Let's see what they have to say. Let's see if they want to tell us about it. Okay, go ahead.
Here. A match made in...
Go ahead. Oh, darn you.
Heaven, Taylor Swift and Tim Tebow. There is big buzz tonight that they could be a couple. They were spotted chatting at a pre-Oscar bash and then reportedly having dinner together. I want to bring back in matchmaker Lori Zaslow, star of the new show, Love Broker. You can see it on Bravo. All right, so you are one of the country's busiest matchmakers. You have set up many, many couples. You've been very successful at it. You obviously know what works. So in terms of this couple, what do you think? Taylor Swift, Tim Tebow, match made in heaven?
I think it is a match with a lot of potential. He seems very grounded. He's the youngest of 5 children. He's very into religion, and he seems chivalrous. And she needs a guy, I think, closer to her age that is going to respect her and love her, someone she's not going to have to write a song about, at least a sad song.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
And he's known for his Tebowing, getting on one knee. So, you know, it definitely could have potential.
And I think, and I always say this, usually when you put two stars together, it can cause some friction. But very often what is helpful is that one star can relate to what the other goes through, particularly when you get so much notoriety. Taylor, one of the most popular stars in the world. Tim Tebow, obviously a household name by now.
And they're both in the spotlight, but different spotlights, so there's no competition, and they can relate to one another, so I think that's amazing.
Well, look at who she's been linked with before. I mean, John Mayer, Joe Jonas, Jake Gyllenhaal.
For her.
Do you think, though, that Tim Tebow is a better match than any of those guys?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
He's motivated. He's grounded. He comes from a great family. He's from the South. He's chivalrous. I mean, he is what she needs him.
Okay, so it sounds very, very healthy. All right.
It's promising. It sounds promising.
You know, the John Mayer thing, I never really quite understood that, and if that actually, in fact, ever happened, because, of course, she never flat out confirmed it. But there we go. A match made in heaven. All right, Lori Zaslow, thank you so much.
I love those matches made in heaven. So there you are, Taylor Swift, Tim Tebow. And if you're young, you'll know who Taylor Swift is. If you're older, know who Tim Tebow is. Okay, so I thought that was good. Right there. Okay, let me tell you what's going on with the storms. Let me update you on what's happening with the storms. A powerful severe storm system moved across the United States today, causing at least three apparent tornadoes from Alabama to Indiana and threatening even more destruction as the day wore on. National Weather Service meteorologist John Gordon reported this afternoon, the agency has about half a dozen reports of tornadoes on the ground, as well as reports of significant damage, stressing all the while the worst may still be to come. As of 1 p.m. our time, the Weather Service had 19 tornado warnings out affecting six states. This is an enormous outbreak that's going on right now across Kentucky and the South, Gordon said. It's crazy. It's just nuts right here. Two of the reported twisters touched down in northern Alabama while residents were assessing damage to a high school, prison, and other locales. And shortly after issuing a tornado watch for large swaths of central and southern Indiana, central and eastern Kentucky, and southwest Ohio, the National Weather Service reported the trained weather spotters detected a tornado earlier today in southern Indiana. No word on damage yet or possible casualties from those touchdowns in Posey County near the Ohio River. Anyway, it's just awful. It's just plain awful. Just crazy stuff. All right, so whenever that happens, I say to myself, there but for the grace of God. So I'm glad we're safe and sound right now. All right, quarter minutes before the hour of 2, and your weekend, and the weekend, yours, mine, the weekend, you know. All right, let's see if there's anything else that we need to share. Iranians vote for the first time since 2009. Obama not bluffing on Iran nukes. These are headlines. 9/11 lawsuit blames the Saudis. Baseball playoffs to expand this year. Dow snaps 3-week winning streak. Mortician resigns in the Dover probe at the base there. Really. Armored truck guard and $2 million is gone. I wonder who took it. Nick Cannon has a lupus-like disease. Remembering Wilt's 100-point game. I mentioned that today. I remembered it. Anything else? That's it. That's basically what's going on in CNN right now. Now we're done with you. We're done with you. Heck with you right there. Darn you. I do have one more story. A look inside Fukushima's meltdown zone. Should we talk? We should probably talk about that because we talked about Diablo Canyon Day and all that. We have a power plant in our backyard. So I think it's going to be one of those things I click on. We'll see how long it takes.
The Fukushima nuclear plant exploded in a triple meltdown. Reporters were reminded this is still one of the most hazardous places on the planet. We wore head-to-toe protective gear, full facial respirators, and hazmat suits. And then we drove up to the world's worst nuclear accident in 25 years.
This is our first look on the ground at the reactors. This is the heart of the nuclear problem in Japan. What you're seeing over my shoulder are the reactors. There are four of them. The two that you see over my right shoulder, those are two of the reactors that exploded in the early days of this disaster. When you take a look at the reactors,
You can see that they have a long way to go. This is a year after this disaster, and you can see that the force of the explosion crippled those buildings. You can understand how so much radiation spewed from this point when you're standing here.
An army of 3,000 workers are now here daily in shifts to control the melted nuclear fuel and contain the further spread of the radiation. Inside the on-site crisis management building at the plant, a control center monitors their progress and safety 24 hours a day. The highest risk we still see is if something goes wrong with the reactor, says plant manager Takeshi Takahashi. The plant is in cold shutdown, but the nuclear fuel needs constant cooling, and the situation is far from over. TEPCO says the plant won't be decommissioned for at least 30 to 40 years. The challenge is evident as we drive around the Fukushima plant. Debris still mangled from the tsunami sits untouched because of radiation concerns. These blue tanks and these larger gray ones hold water contaminated with radiation. TEPCO is continuously challenged with finding more space for the water. Work conditions and safety, while they've improved since the early days of the disaster, remain a constant concern. Saori Kanasaki used to give tours to the public at the Fukushima nuclear plant. Before the accident, I explained to many people that the nuclear power plant is safe, she says. Now that this has happened, I feel very sorry I ever said that. Kanasaki also lived here in Tomioka. She's now an evacuee, uncertain of when or if she can ever return home. A year later, she and 78,000 others are the legacy of this accident, paying the price when nuclear energy goes wrong. Kyung Long, CNN, at the Fukushima nuclear plant.
Hey, pretty dramatic, too. All right. That's what happened. That's what's going on. Hi, you're Bill. Let's talk about what's in the paper today, because there's a couple things I want to mention, and I thought I should. And the reason I mentioned this is because the film festival starts. The SLO International Film Festival starts on the 7th, March 7th, next week, and runs through the 11th, so it starts next Wednesday. I mean, it's upon us. It's like, woo, it's here. And so it's going to be cool, and don't forget you can get programs all over the place, but you can certainly get them at the Film Center office, Film Festival office, and that's at the old Davidson's furniture place. And they have, that's across from McClintock's kind of, and Tom's Toys and B. Anthony Jewelers and who else is in there? A coffee shop. All right, so cross from those people. Then they also have them at the Palm Theater and other places. So make sure you get yourself a program so you can see what's coming up and see what you might be interested in and doing. Now, I haven't heard yet from anybody. I'm hoping to hear from people next week. But here's what's interesting. I think this was 2 years ago, I believe. Might have been three. Might have been four. Five. I don't know how many years ago it was. Telegraph Hill's famous parrots land south of the city. The flight to the suburbs. And so this was this crazy deal about San Francisco's Telegraph Hill parrots, and they had the parrots of Telegraph Hill was one of the movies we saw. There was a guy with parrot poop all over himself, walking around with parrots on his head and his arms and his shoulders. I liked the guy. I really liked the guy. And he'd feed him and whatnot. And so here on Telegraph Hill was all these parrots. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense now. But it didn't make sense, does it? The wild parrots of Telegraph Hill, apparently jaded by city life, have headed for the suburbs. The goofy green birds are now the mild parrots of Brisbane. They've got a pool, a park, and now they've got parrots. They make more noise than the airplane, said Ron Davis, a Brisbane real estate agent and longtime resident. San Francisco's famed flock of cherry-headed creatures, immortalized in award-winning movie and book, has become so populous that about 100 or so birds have fled San Francisco for the verdant slopes of San Bruno Mountain, about 10 miles south of the city. There, they're feasting on juniper and hawthorn berries and delighted with locals with their acrobatics. And they delight the locals. Another 100 or so are still flapping around the northern edge of San Francisco, but the flock appears to have branched beyond the foggy confines of the waterfront, probably in search of food. And all I care about is that they stay wild and free, said this guy, who still lives on Telegraph Hill but no longer services as the flock's unofficial caretaker. Oh, that was the guy in the movie right there. Oh, yeah, okay, that guy. Okay, what's his name again? What did I say? Mark Bittner. That was his name, Mark Bittner. He's the guy with a pair of poop all over himself. So there you are. That's what's going on. The birds are flapping all over the place now. Maybe like the elephant seals, they will migrate south to our area. Why not? When I lived in Pasadena years ago, there's parrots in Pasadena, too. I've never seen a movie about the parrots of Pasadena, but there was parrots in Pasadena. I was totally shocked looking out the window seeing parrots flying around. But they're there. All right, let me tell you what else is going on. Ruling adds to pots industry's confusion, because we have so much confusion about this, and it's just going to get worse. Judicial panel decides dispensaries can't be banned but must grow pot on site. The latest in a series of rulings on state's law. California Appellate Court has ruled that cities cannot use nuisance ordinances to ban medical marijuana dispensaries, further adding to how much confusion there is about how municipalities should regulate clinics protected under state law. The 4th District Court of Appeals on Wednesday struck down 2010 preliminary injunction by a trial judge that would have shut down Evergreen Holistic Collective in Lake Forest, but a stay was granted. Evergreen was shuttered in October as part of a statewide crackdown. In its ruling, the 3-judge panel said nonprofit collectives can only dispense marijuana from where it's cultivated, and the drug cannot be brought from someone else and dispensed at the store. So there you are. Does that solve our problems? Not one iota. Not with the federales. Not with the federales. That's not gonna please the federales. The federales don't care. So it's really, I mean, it's seriously kind of a problem. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. It's because we don't have a thing going on. All right, so that's that. But if you don't count that kind of confusion, you love parrots. Hey, it's a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend. Have a wonderful, safe weekend, too. And then we'll get together again on Monday at noon o'clock. I'm Bill Benica, thanking you for joining me. And until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, 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 bye. Happy trails to you until we meet. Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling.